Ephesians 6 says our fight is not against any physical enemy. It's against organizations and powers that are spiritual, and we are to stand firm. Welcome to The Invisible Realm with Troy Albano of Discipleship Duplication, equipping you to be God's warriors for battle against the forces of evil in the spiritual realm. You will learn to exercise authority from the position in Christ and to increase your faith so that you may fight not for victory, but from victory. This spiritual warfare training will give you the ability to stand firm and then to help others stand. Now, here's Troy Albano of Discipleship Duplication.
We are continuing a series on awakening and awareness, equipping God's warriors for battle in the invisible realm. And we're going through seven spiritual warfare principles. We've covered four of them already. The first one was exercise your authority. Spiritual warfare principle number two, who are you? It's a matter of identity. Spiritual warfare principle three, look down. It's a matter of position. And spiritual warfare principle number four, childlike faith. Today, we're going to be covering show me the power. Let's open our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 4. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. But I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. And to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So we see from the passages I just read in 1 Corinthians 2, that Paul did not come in this persuasive words of wisdom. He didn't come to preach some eloquent message, exercising charisma, showmanship, but he came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Not in words, but he came in power. But what he was determined to do is speak on Christ in Christ crucified. This is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So real power is the word of the cross. So by way of introduction, what is real power? It's only God's power. Because there's a lot of counterfeits out there that are mimicking some sort of power that tries, number one, to intimidate the power of God, but two, also to counterfeit God's real power. Matthew 24:24. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Mark 13:22. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. So you see the verses I just read, that the enemy, he comes like an angel of light, and he's going to counterfeit being like the Lord, like the Holy Spirit, with signs and wonders, even deceiving many, many Christians, even if possible, even God's elect. So we see that, especially in today we live in, there's a lot of signs and wonders, because the enemy has infiltrated the churches today, and they'll do signs and wonders in the name of Jesus, in their counterfeit spirits. Many, many times when we pray for people, we have so many testimonies where people have laid hands on them, from ones that are coming from some interesting church gatherings, and they would lay hands on them and a spirit that would actually enter into them. So we have to meet with them, we have to pray for them, and they get fully freed and delivered. And then we start discipling them, which is really the most important thing, because it's through the cross of our Lord Jesus, which is truly the power of God. The word of the cross is the power of God. It changes and transforms life. It's easy to free people, to be delivered, cast out demons, miracles. That's really, really easy for the Lord. But to see a life transformed, it takes our cooperation to be open and willing. Because the Lord says, those who are willing come, because we have free will to choose. That is real power. Exodus chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Then Pharaoh also called for the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same with their secret arts, for each one threw down his staff, and they turned it into serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. So we see here that Moses and Aaron, they're commissioned to go back to Egypt and to proclaim God's power and to say, let my people go. And they're doing signs and wonders before Egypt and before Egyptian gods. And here we see that even the magicians and even the sorcerers of Egypt were able to counterfeit what Aaron's staff did. It turned into a serpent. And they threw down their staffs and it turned to a serpent as well. But Aaron's staff swallowed up. The serpents of those gods were swallowed up. See, our God is powerful. Far more powerful than the enemy. The second one, in the same chapter, let's go to verse 20. So Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord had commanded. And he lifted up the staff and struck the water that was in the Nile, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the water that was in the Nile was turned to blood. The fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul. So the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile, and the blood was through all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts. So we see the second plague through Moses and through Aaron turned the Nile into blood. The Egyptian gods with their magicians and their sorcerers were able to do the same as well, because the forces of evil, they do have power, but it doesn't compare to our Lord's power. Remember, the enemy will come like an angel of light, deceiving many. He's a counterfeit. Number three, let's turn to Exodus chapter 8, verse 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the streams and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. The magicians did the same with their secret arts, making frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Let's go to verse 16, the fourth plague. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand and strike the dust of the earth, that it may become gnats through all the land of Egypt. They did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats through all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried with their secret arts to bring forth gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." So we see that this is the last plague when Moses and Aaron did the signs and wonders from the hand of God that the magician wasn't able to mimic or counterfeit. But here, this small insect, a gnat. And if you read that the magicians in verse 19, it says, "Then the magician said to Pharaoh, 'This is the very finger of God.'" See, it doesn't take a lot of power from God to deal with the enemy. He said, "This was the finger of God." Luke 11:20. "But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." See, it only takes the little finger of God to cast out demons. When we pray for people to cast out demons, it's through the very power of God, just the very little finger of God. But when we do that, the enemy is evicted. Praise the Lord, from that person. And we pray that the Spirit of God comes into that person and gains ground in them. The kingdom of God has come upon them. Our God is an awesome God. And it's only His power that is real, true power. So I want to talk about three things. What is the word of the cross and why is it so powerful? Two, indwelling versus outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And whose side are you really on? And so I'm going to begin with number one. What is the word of the cross and why is it so powerful? And we read in 1 Corinthians 1:18, it is the word of the cross that's the power of God. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Also, it transforms lives for His eternal plan and purpose. See, the gospel of the kingdom, it is not sharing with people, "Be forgiven of your sins by the blood of Jesus, and you will be saved, and then you will go to heaven." That's fire insurance. No, but the real gospel is, yes, the blood of Jesus, He deals and justifies us because of our sins. It washes away all of our sins. It says that if we confess to our Lord, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's through the blood of Jesus. It deals with our sins. But still, the sinner is still there. How do you deal with the sinner? It's by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The sinner needs to be crucified. That old man, the I, that nature needs to be dealt with, and that is through the cross of Jesus Christ. Remember, the blood cleanses us from sins, but it's the cross that deals with the sinner. That is the true gospel. And that's why it says the word of the cross is the power of God. And many times we don't hear about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We only hear about how the blood cleanses us. I don't hear many people talk about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, but they only share of the blood that cleanses us from sins. That is not the full gospel. The full gospel is to speak about the cross of our Lord Jesus and how He shed His blood for you and I. This is the gospel of the kingdom. What is the word of the cross and why is it so powerful? is the very thing I just shared with you. It's through Christ's death, he released his life through resurrection. When our Lord Jesus Christ died, he released that life in resurrection. And what happened in resurrection? It brings forth new birth. We have a whole new genealogy. It brings us into the family of God. Let's turn to Exodus 29, 37. For 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and consecrate it. Then the altar shall be most holy, and whatever touches the altar shall be holy. That altar represents the very cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the altar of sacrifice where they were made atonement, an animal sacrifice. Our Lord was the Lamb of God that was presented for us. Our Lord Jesus was willing. It was a sacrifice where his blood was shed for us. He suffered and died on the cross. So that altar was made holy. But it says, whatever touches us, the altar shall be holy. It's to embrace the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the blood deals with our sins and justifies us. But it's through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ that deals with the sinner. Embrace the cross. It's an exercise of faith. Let's turn to Galatians 5:24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So we see that this is past tense. It says have crucified. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. You see that this is past tense, that it is the Lord Jesus, when he was crucified, we too are crucified with Christ. It dealt with our old man, the I, the ego. Let's turn to Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Did you know that when Jesus was crucified, you too were crucified with him? Because he had to deal with that old man, that ego, that I. And did you know when you were crucified, you were buried with Christ already as well? And when you were buried with Christ, you were also resurrected with Christ, ascended with Christ, now seated with Christ in heavenly places. It's a whole new birth, a whole new genealogy. See, that was all done in the past, what Christ has done for us. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whomever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So we see that here it's present tense. That means you daily take up your cross. That's the application of what has already been accomplished in the past, that you have been crucified with Christ. That's what Jesus has done for us in Romans 6:6 and in Galatians 2:20. But here is present tense. How do we walk it out, the crucified life? It's by faith, but here it's day to day. What we see here in this verse, it's really interesting. If you read about the Lord's death, our Lord Jesus Christ, before he went to the cross, he carried the cross all the way to Golgotha. He carried this cross. And then he was crucified. But we as believers now, it's the exact opposite order. We were first crucified, then we daily carried the cross. That's present tense. Because we didn't carry no cross, we first were crucified when we got saved. And then afterwards, the Lord says, daily carry your cross. See, this is the day-to-day practical application of applying what already has been done for us through our Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. Past tense, that's all the facts. He has already been crucified. We crucified with him. And here now, we just simply walk it out by faith. Let's go to Romans 8:13. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So transformation, true power through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, is a process. It is day to day, the renewing of our mind. It's denying ourselves, it's carrying our cross, applying that day to day what the Lord has already accomplished. And it's by and through the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith. We will continue next week with Spiritual Warfare Principle 5, Show Me the Power, because we've only covered the first point. What is the word of the cross and why it is so powerful? And I want to share testimonies next week as well. So next week, we're going to cover the last two points, the indwelling and versus the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And whose side are you really on? The Lord bless you.
We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. The good news is that we can put on the whole armor of God to resist evil and to stand. Are you standing firm? This spiritual warfare training on the invisible realm from discipleship duplication will help you clearly understand the unseen realm and the battle you face so you can fight from a position of victory. Troy Albano has a deep awakening to the spiritual realm and learned the authority that we have over demonic forces. He shares personal testimonies and he equips you to be awakened, aware, and to overcome in the battle. Visit discipleshipduplication.com to learn about his seven spiritual principles of warfare so that you may stand firm. Tune in next week at this time to be further strengthened. DiscipleshipDuplication.com. Christ is victor.